As I said tonight, I want to talk to you about spiritual gifts, and I'm going to keep it somewhat short and sweet so that we can save some time at the end for prayer. Spiritual gifts, if you're not familiar with what spiritual gifts are, these are things that are supernatural that the Holy Spirit works through us to build up the body of Christ. When you become a believer in Jesus, when you confess faith in Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. When that happens, you don't receive part of the Spirit, you receive all of the Holy Spirit. He comes to live in you, and he makes the person of Jesus immediate and evident in your life. We might call this being born again, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. Whoever has been saved has the Holy Spirit, and you get all of him. But the Bible says that there is a second work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. It's not that you get more of him. It's not that there was part of him missing or something like that. It's simply that there are things that God wants to keep doing in your life after you've been saved. That's not just I got saved and I'm done, but the Holy Spirit wants to keep working. One of those things that the Holy Spirit does, we call baptism in the Holy Spirit. And as a Pentecostal church, we believe that it is marked by the initial physical evidence of speaking in other tongues. But that is not the only evidence, nor is it the only thing that the Holy Spirit does. In fact, the Holy Spirit comes on believers in order to empower them to be witnesses for Jesus. But the Holy Spirit does even more than that in our lives. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. Gifts that are intended to be used to build up the body of Christ, to make it stronger, to help it to grow, to help it to learn what it needs to in order to thrive together. And so tonight I want to talk to you about those spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are the way that the Holy Spirit speaks through us to the body of Christ. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11 to consider these. This is what the Apostle Paul writes. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So tonight I just want to go through this very briefly, point out a few things that the Apostle Paul teaches us about gifts of the Spirit. And then when we're done, all I want us to do is to seek the Lord for these things. In fact, the scripture tells us that we can and should seek the Lord for spiritual gifts so that we can use them to build up the body of Christ. Here's what I want you to see first. Sometimes people, when they think about spiritual gifts, they get intimidated by them. They feel like, well, that's not for me. That's somebody else's responsibility. That's, you know, something that the Holy Spirit has done in somebody else's life, perhaps. It's not that I'm denying that those are real. It's just that it's not for me. And sometimes I think we're afraid. It is intimidating to say that, well, the Holy Spirit's going to speak through me. But here's what I would like to point out to you. The first thing that I'd like to point out to you, and this comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we just read, is this, that the Holy Spirit has already spoken through you. This is why the Apostle Paul begins 1 Corinthians chapter 12 by saying that no one is ever going to be able to say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, if you think about that for a moment, there's another famous passage in which the Apostle Paul uses the words, Jesus is Lord, right? It's Romans chapter 10, where he says in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth, what? Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, we might not often make this connection, but what the Apostle Paul is telling us in 1 Corinthians 12 is that no one ever says Jesus is Lord in a saving sort of way. He's not saying that, somebody couldn't utter those words sarcastically, they couldn't just speak those words. He's not saying that those syllables couldn't be formed by their lips, that that's impossible. He's not saying those things. What he's saying is that this statement, Jesus is Lord, was a radical statement in the first century, because by saying Jesus is Lord, you were denying all of the other pagan idols that were worshipped in the culture, and you were tying yourself to Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord. With that statement, you were giving confession to more than just some words. You were giving confession to faith and belief that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, begotten, not created, that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, that he was born of the Virgin, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, that he was crucified, dead, and buried, that he rose from the dead on the third day, that he ascended into heaven, and there he sits as Lord at God's right hand, from where he will come to judge the living and the dead. You are giving confession to your belief in Jesus. And you don't just do that with sincerity. That's got to be the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And so what the Apostle Paul is telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for one thing, is this. You used to worship mute idols, gods that cannot speak. But if you've truly received Jesus, if you've truly said Jesus is Lord, that has not come because of your own will, hasn't happened by your own volition. It has happened because the Holy Spirit has worked in your life and you have been born again into this family of God so that you can genuinely and sincerely say, Jesus is Lord. And we find something similar in John chapter 3, verses 5 to 8, where we learn what it is to be born again. We find there Jesus answers, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. To be saved is to be born of the Spirit. That is, you're born again. You're born of God's Spirit, and you've said by His Spirit, Jesus is Lord. And so if you've been born again, this is what Paul is directing simply. If you've been born again, the Spirit of God has already spoken through you, because that is the only way that you can really be convicted of your sin, that you can really come to faith in Christ, and that you can say Jesus is Lord. And that should give you confidence then. The Holy Spirit has already spoken through you. And so if he's already spoken through you, then is it such a far-fetched thing to think that maybe he would speak through you again to further glorify Jesus? Maybe he would want to use you to speak to the body of Christ and further build it up. Maybe he would want to use you in other kinds of gifts and other ways to help to further the work of the ministry and the work of the church. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Holy Spirit has already spoken through you. And then he tells us this, that each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit. You have to be willing. This is pretty straightforward, that the Apostle Paul says each one of us is given a manifestation of the Spirit. What are manifestations? A manifestation doesn't have to be something spooky or something totally mysterious to us. What the Apostle Paul means is that the Holy Spirit reveals things to God's people in order that they might use those things to build up the church. This doesn't necessarily mean that you tell the future or something like that. It could be a word of encouragement for somebody. It could be wisdom that he's given you to help them to understand what they need to do in a circumstance of their life. It might be a gift of faith, that where someone is struggling with a circumstance or a situation or to trust the promises of God, God gives you faith to share with them, to say, I'm believing, I know the Lord is going to do this, and it helps to strengthen and build up their faith. The Holy Spirit works in these ways, and he gives a manifestation to each one of us. But sometimes we can let fear keep us from obeying what the Holy Spirit is directing. We can let fear of what people will think of us, fear that we could get it wrong, that we might not speak what is right. We don't want to be guilty of claiming that God is saying something when he's not saying it. And so we might have that fear that maybe I'm getting this wrong. So what can help us here? Well, I think one thing is that just having a consistent relationship with God so that you're learning to recognize his voice. You're spending time in his presence, maybe in your own devotional time, that you're spending time reading his word and you're spending time praying, spending time getting to know what his voice sounds like as you pray and you discern how he's directing your life. You spend time among his people in services like this so that you begin to learn what it's like when the Holy Spirit is working and you begin to learn what it's like when God is speaking into your life and he's directing you, and so you learn to recognize his voice. I think another thing that can be a check for us is this, that you just submit to the testing of other believers without pride. Sometimes people imagine that gifts of the Spirit are these things that you kind of go rogue with, and you say, "Thus saith the Lord," and no one could question me if I begin my sentence that way. And of course, that's not at all what the Bible has to say about spiritual gifts. In fact, the scripture says that when spiritual gifts are used, they should be tested, that others should weigh if what is being said and what is being done comes from the Lord. And so it's not a matter of building yourself up in pride or puffing yourself up. It's a matter of submitting to the Holy Spirit and to the work that he wants to do and being willing, having an openness of heart and a readiness of heart to be used as the Holy Spirit leads. We can't let fear keep us from obedience and the benefits of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Each one has been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's the next thing, is that this manifestation that God wants to give to you or has given you is for the common good. This gift that the Holy Spirit wants to use in your life is for the building up of the church. The goal is to build up the body of Christ. It's not an opportunity to state pet peeves or to build personal reputations. Building up does not mean that there won't be correction, doesn't mean that there aren't calls for repentance, but the motive and goal of the gifts is to strengthen the church, to build up the body of Christ. It's not about you as an individual. The gifts are not about making a reputation for yourself. The gifts are not meant to be misused in that way, but neither are they meant to be withheld. God gives, by his Spirit, each of us a manifestation or gifts of the Spirit for the common good. And those manifestations, we also learn, should glorify Jesus. This is another implication of saying no one says except by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is Lord. You know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he gives to you, they may not always flatter or glorify you. They might not always point attention to you. And of course, you've got to step out in faith, and people might recognize that you're being used by the Spirit, and that's a great thing, that's a wonderful thing, but it's not the point that people would recognize you, but they would recognize Jesus. And sometimes people will complain or at least comment that there aren't enough manifestations of God's Spirit. And I tend to agree sometimes. I wish that there were more of those things. We desire more of those gifts of the Holy Spirit at work among us. But I sometimes wonder when we complain about these things, if we're getting complaints because people want to hear from God. That could be, and they may have a very right motive in that. But sometimes I get the complaints, and I wonder if it's because people actually would like to hear more of themselves. They want more of an opportunity for themselves. And that's not intended to be a dig or a discouragement from using the gifts, but just a reminder that as we use gifts of the Holy Spirit, we should check our hearts and ensure that we really want Jesus to be lifted up, and that what we're desiring is not self-promotion, because gifts of the Spirit are not intended for self-promotion, but for the glory of Jesus. So the manifestations of the Spirit, gifts of faith, gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy, gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues, gifts of wisdom and knowledge and miracles and the working of power, these things are given for the glory of Jesus, so that his name would be lifted up, not so that ours will be lifted up. And notice finally that the Holy Spirit gives as he wills. This is what Paul ends with. The Holy Spirit gives these gifts as he wills. Now, it is appropriate that we should ask. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us to earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that we might prophesy, he says. So he tells us that we should desire gifts. We can ask from God that he would give us these gifts. That is completely appropriate, and we are going to do that in just a moment. But we need to be willing to be used by God in the way that the Holy Spirit leads us. He's the one who gives as he wills. And one thing we have to be careful of is that we don't compare ourselves. God gives different gifts to different people. I once heard a Bible teacher preaching that he didn't think that what Paul meant was that not everybody gets all the gifts, but that all the gifts are available to all people. And I thought to myself, no, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what Paul says in this passage, that the Holy Spirit gives as he wills to the church, and that there are a variety of gifts given to a variety of people. It seems pretty clear that what the apostle means is that not everybody gets all of the gifts. Because if one person got all of the gifts, we wouldn't need anybody else, would we? But one person doesn't get all of the gifts. I don't have all of the gifts. And so that means some of you, actually all of you, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you are saved and you know Jesus and you're full of the Holy Spirit, you've been given gifts of the Spirit that are different than mine so that you can build up the body of Christ in differing ways. And I would encourage you to seek those gifts from God, to seek what he has for you and the work that he wants to do through you, because he's given you unique gifts as the Holy Spirit wills, as he wants. And the gifts that the Apostle Paul lists in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are examples, but they're probably not even intended to be an exhaustive list of all the things that the Holy Spirit does. In fact, most of the terms that Paul uses here are pretty general terms. Terms like wisdom and knowledge, those are broad terms to describe activity of the Spirit, but not necessarily intended that we would categorize everything. Oh, that was a gift of will. That's a gift of knowledge. That's not a gift of knowledge. That's a gift of who cares whether it was a gift of knowledge or what you label it. The important thing is it coming from the Holy Spirit? Is it according to his will? Does it glorify Jesus? Does it build up the body of Christ? And does it fit with what we know God wants to do in his church as confirmed by other believers who are mature in the faith? Practically speaking, using your gifts is a matter of learning to recognize how and when the Holy Spirit is prompting you. And this isn't a science, since you can't measure it or observe it. It's difficult to describe what does it feel like when the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something, because it's something you learn in a relationship with God, something you learn as you walk with God. And so you can't just describe it scientifically. It can't be measured, and yet it is very real. And since the purpose is to glorify Jesus, it's safe to say that spiritual gifts will grow healthy in the context of that relationship with Jesus. That is, the more intimate your relationship with Jesus, the more you could expect as you seek spiritual gifts that you'll recognize Jesus' voice, you'll recognize the voice of the Spirit, and you'll be able to use those gifts. We shouldn't be afraid of spiritual gifts. In fact, we should desire them. This is the way that God speaks through his people, and since we believe in a God who speaks, we should embrace that. And this doesn't at all mean that spiritual gifts are a free-for-all. They're structure to how spiritual gifts should be used. And we have to exercise wisdom and the fruit of the Spirit in how we use them. And the only context for their use is not in a Sunday morning service. Sometimes people will express that they wish they heard more manifestations of the Spirit on Sunday mornings. And it's true that we haven't often had spontaneous gifts that interrupt a service, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the gifts of the Spirit are not being used, because the Holy Spirit can speak through the preaching of God's word, or through exhortations given during the worship service, or through words of wisdom that are shared in the hallway, and through prayers for healing and for faith. These are all gifts that Paul mentions the Holy Spirit gives. Furthermore, the scripture says that each is given a manifestation for the common good, and it would be impossible for each one of us to exercise those gifts on a regular basis publicly just on Sunday mornings. It would be impractical. We would have a situation that would dissolve into absurdity with everybody trying to speak. But there are many, many other opportunities for the gifts of the Spirit to be used. I believe Wednesday nights are a fantastic public setting for gifts of the Spirit to be used, because there's a more intimate sense of prayer here, and this is a setting where we have time to wait on the Lord and see what He's saying to us. I think another great place for you to think about and pray about the Holy Spirit helping you to use the gifts that He gives to you would be in a connect group. Because there, in that setting, as you get to know one another, you don't have to be weird, you don't have to be strange, you don't have to begin with, "Thus saith the Lord," but maybe you could have a fellow group member who's struggling with a circumstance in their life, and God gives you a gift of faith to believe with them that He's going to resolve that circumstance. Or they don't know what to do in a situation, and He gives you a gift of wisdom to share with him or with her about what to do in that circumstance and how to apply His word to that part of their lives so that they can grow in it and they can move through it in a godly manner. And He gives you that gift. It could be that there's someone who needs that in that small setting, and God uses you by the Holy Spirit to meet that need. This is the point. God speaks through His Holy Spirit in a variety of ways and at a variety of times. And the Holy Spirit is spoken through you if you've confessed Jesus is Lord and you're a believer in Him. He wants to speak through you to build up other members of the body of Christ as well. No one is exempt from this. Nobody gets left out. No one gets to take a pass and say, "Well, that's just not my thing to be used by the Holy Spirit. That's not my thing." God speaks, and He wants to speak through you. Now, this shouldn't be contrived. Shouldn't be forced. We shouldn't be trying to make things happen that aren't really there. That's not what we want either. But we should seek it, and it should be expected. And we should expect it and seek it with humility and with purity. So I'm going to ask Shana to come, and we want to do that tonight. And I just want to ask you if you will humble yourself with me for a few minutes and just say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm a willing servant tonight. I'm willing for you to pour out your Spirit in my life, and I want to know what gifts you are giving to me." Will you open your heart to Him tonight and allow Him to speak into you and maybe even through you to build up the church? And listen, don't worry. You don't have to interrupt a service unless that's how the Lord directs you. But that's not necessarily the requirement of a spiritual gift. There may be other settings, but I just want you to be willing to say, "Lord, I believe that there are gifts that you give your church. And your word has said that you give to all, and I'm one of all. And I want to be a part of what you're doing. And Lord, I have my fears, and I have my doubts, and I have my insecurities, but I give those to you. And I'm asking that you'd help me to be able to be a servant that is able to be used by you. I surrender." In fact, this week we're talking about consecration and allowing the Lord to put His finger on things in our lives and to say, "Hey, move that out of the way, get that out." Maybe tonight the start for you with seeking spiritual gifts isn't to come and to say, "God, I want to prophesy," or "God, I want to give words of wisdom," or "God, use me in this way." But it's to come and say, "Father, I want to consecrate my life to you. Lord, I want it all to be yours. Whatever needs to be removed, whatever you need to purify, whatever you need to get rid of, I want you to convict, and I want you to give me the gift of repentance and help me to repent genuinely, and I want to be done with those things so that I can be a vessel that's clean for honorable use, ready to be used in your house, however you choose." Maybe that's what you need to do tonight. You just need to take that step and say, "God, make me clean so I can be a vessel of honorable use in your house." I want to encourage you to do this. We're going to do an altar call. And we call it an altar. Sometimes people don't maybe understand what we mean by altar. And we just think it means the place up front, which that's the location, I suppose. But what we mean is this: the altar is a place of surrender, where you're giving to God, you're making your life a living sacrifice to Him again, like Romans 12 says, that you're offering yourself to God as that living sacrifice. And tonight, I want to encourage you to do this. You might say, well, I'm not sure how to seek gifts of the Spirit and those things. Listen, just start by giving your life to God, by consecrating yourself to Him, by saying, God, here I am. I'm at the altar giving my life to You, surrendering to You. I want what You have, and I want You to remove anything that is getting in the way, that is hindering the work of Your Spirit in my life so that I can be used by You. I want You to reroute my expectations, God. I want You to remake my desires, so that I'm desiring You. And then, Lord, use me in whatever way You want. I surrender. Use me in whatever way You want, Lord. I'm surrendered to You. That's the altar call tonight. Will you consecrate yourself to the Lord and believe that as you do, the Holy Spirit is gifts that He wants to use in your life to build up the body of Christ? Would you stand with me, church? If that's you, you just want to say, Lord, I'm surrendered to You tonight. Lord, I want to be pure before You so that I can be a vessel of honorable use. Would You just come forward and begin to make a place of prayer here at the altar? This isn't your salvation moment. This is just You saying, Lord, I want to be pure so that You can use me. I want everything else that's hindering to get out of the way. I want to be right with You, clean before You, so that the Holy Spirit can work in me and flow through me. Just begin to seek Him in that way. Just surrender to Him tonight. Lord, we surrender to You. In Your own voice and with Your own words, You know what's going on in your life. You know the things that God has been speaking to you. You know the places where He has touched your life, where He has called you to give to Him. You know what those things are. Just begin to give those things to Him even now. You know the things where there might be a hindrance. You know the fears of your own heart. Begin to give those things to Him even now. Lord, we surrender to You. Lord, the distractions, the fears, the temptations, we surrender to You. We desire You to have a free way in our hearts, Lord. We desire You to have a highway in our hearts, to move freely in us. Lord, no hindrance, no block. Lord, whatever is there, whatever's gotten in the way, we don't want it to be there anymore, God. Lord, forgive us where there have been things where we've ignored You, where we have not listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We call out to You tonight for forgiveness. We repent before You. We ask You to make us clean, and we ask You to help us, Lord, to pursue the fruit of repentance, change lives. Holy Spirit, we are not able to change ourselves. We come to You. Even as we did at first, we recognize our relationship is by faith. And tonight we trust You. We trust You to cleanse. We trust You to purify. We confess. Oh Lord, we surrender to You. We surrender to You. And Lord, we're here to listen to You. What do You have to say? Speak to us. We believe that You are a God who speaks. And we ask that You would speak to us. Lord, that You would give clarity of direction in our lives. That You would give the wisdom that we've been looking for. That even now, Lord, You'd begin to put Your finger on those places in our lives that You need us to move. You want us to change. You want us to grow. And we would surrender them to You even now. Lord, cleanse us.